Hello and welcome. This is Joseph Pasek of Barn Burner. Our twice daily Fired Up show is available on 108 platforms, also on the OSG Sports app. Welcome to Elimination Chamber recap here on No Holds Barred Wrestling Show with the Hall of Famer Steve Carney of WDAE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida, and Giancarlo Alino of Barn Burner. All right, Extreme Rules. Why am I saying this all the time? Elimination Chamber came to you from Houston on a Saturday night, and on the pre-show, they had the Cruiserweight title, Ozawa against Buddy Murphy. Giancarlo, this time, start us off. What do you think of that bout?
For what it was, I thought it was a great showing by Buddy Murphy. Again, he retains his title, and he's had a great reign on 205 Live, really carrying that show and putting it on the map since Neville left the company. And Buddy Murphy now with, you know, this title match, when he was on the main card, cruiserweights were really given a platform and a lot of people enjoyed their match. I think they should have really taken advantage of that and put it on pay-per-views more often. But now we've seen it go back to the pre-show, and if it's on the pre-show all the time, not as many fans are going to go out of their way to see it. And I think it devalues what Buddy Murphy's been doing right now with that impressive title reign.
All right, Steve Carney.
Yeah, Bill, I agree with Giancarlo about trying to get the Cruiserweight title matchups back on the main show of these pay-per-view events and having it on the pre-show. It does kind of cheapen it. But that being said, I thought it was an entertaining match, and I really liked the fact that the kickoff show was only a single hour as opposed to some of these two-hour kickoff shows that we get with these with the major pay-per-views. I think those are just way too long. The kickoff show being in a single hour and having a single match on it, it isn't awful, but I agree. I would have loved to have seen that match been on the main card, though. The question is, what do you put on the pre-show as the match for the kickoff show? This card, you really couldn't do that. So you had to settle with the Cruiserweight title. Hopefully when Fastlane comes around in a couple of weeks, we won't see that.
All right. First of all, for sort of a B pay-per-view, because you know, A is like WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. This arguably for a B pay-per-view was really, really good. I have to say about 8 or 9 out of 10. Let's begin with the women's tag team title match in Elimination Chamber. Steve Carney, you start us off. Boy, a good match. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, the team that I predicted would win did not win. Unfortunately, the Iconics were eliminated rather early. But, you know, with that match, I was really impressed with, A, the fact that they were able to go through and get all six teams into the chamber before the eliminations began. It's not much of a surprise that you saw Naomi and Carmella out early. But I really thought that Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose put up a great performance against Bayley and Sasha Banks. Once the Iconics were eliminated, I had a feeling that it was going to end up being Bayley and Sasha, like I believe both of you predicted to be correct. But I was really impressed with Mandy and Sonya Deville in the role of the runners-up.
Well, first of all, I got 2 points to follow up on that. Carmella and Naomi losing. Carmella had a date to go to. That's why she finished off early in the night. Now, never mind. That's a pun. We'll talk about it later. But also, did you say Mandy Rose was impressive? Did you actually just say Mandy Rose was impressive?
Meg.
Yes, you said that. Okay, Giancarlo, Mandy Rose was impressive. Okay, Mandy Rose, everything she does is impressive. But all joking aside, you know, it looked like the whole match, you know, the lead up to that was Sasha Banks, Bayley saving Sasha Banks. Today, Sasha Banks, Sage Bailey, and they didn't even touch on this, how Sasha Banks pulled out Bailey from being attacked from Mandy Rose. Giancarlo, what did you think overall of that match?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this match, and I kind of thought they were going to follow the trend of when they have these monumental women's matches. We see the main event, the pay-per-view, like the Elimination Chamber, the Hell in a Cell, sorry, and the Women's Royal Rumble. So I thought with the women's tag titles, they would have made it the main event, but we'll get into that later of why I think that was a great call. I really enjoyed that Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville really improved and came into their own tonight. I thought this is where they really stepped up and became that main event player on SmackDown. And I wasn't really expecting them to come in on the runner-up. I thought maybe it'd be the Iconics and the Boss Hug connection at the end. But we saw them just the elimination, and it teased it when the camera went into the chamber and Mandy Rose hit her finisher on Sasha Banks. I thought it was over there. And then Sasha kicked out of that, and then they won the titles. But a real great match and a great moment after the match in that promo.
The Miz, Shane McMahon up against the Usos for the SmackDown Tag Team title. Steve, start us off.
Yeah, you had a feeling that the Miz and Shane McMahon were going to drop the tag team titles to the Usos. I think that the curiosity was going to be, was this going to be a heel turn by the Miz or Shane McMahon, or was this going to be a clean finish? Turns out to be a clean finish, and then afterwards you see the Miz still losing his mind in the training area while Shane McMahon tries to get Ike down. You know, for me, this was an okay match. This was, if I was to look at all of the matches on this card that went more than, say, 90 seconds, this is probably the worst match on the card that went beyond the two-minute mark.
And before we get any further, got to say congratulations to the Miz and Maryse. Baby number two is coming. Maryse came out and said they're pregnant again. So congratulations to the Miz and Maryse. And the Miz, before the match, dedicated the match to Maryse, to father, to Monroe Sky, to the unborn baby. Well, he lost. Giancarlo, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't the, I agree with Steve, I thought it wasn't the best match on this card. Again, Shane McMahon is an executive in WWE, and he's not an active wrestler. He's close to 50 years old, and yet he's looking as strong as how The Miz should be looking in this match. He's looking like the dominant force on that team and the strong link. And The Miz is a former world champion, main event at WrestleMania. He's the guy who they really should be building as that strong link of the team, the guy that should be getting that hot tag and coming in and clearing house, getting the crowd up on their feet. And I don't know where they're going to go with it. Maybe The Miz turns heel or Shane, but I don't have high hopes for whatever this match is at WrestleMania.
All right, then we had Bobby Lashley, Leo Rush against Finn Balor in a handicap match for the Intercontinental title. This one, Giancarlo, you'll start us off.
Yeah, so my Kurt Hawkins streak of predictions was strong here again, because I thought Bobby Lashley would come out to Intercontinental champion still. That wasn't the case, and he had a short-lived title reign. Finn Balor is now the new champion. I thought it was an okay match. Leo Rush, they utilized him backstage, and how Dacho Fuentes kind of like got Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush disagree a little bit. And Bobby Lashley was looking at him and wasn't really that upbeat and into his whole promo. So after the match, we saw Bobby Lashley take him down with a choke slam, and the crowd was really into it. So I was a little confused of what happened later on, but yeah, the crowd was cheering Bobby Lashley's name. They even carried the role of Leo Rush and saying Lashley. But okay win for Finn Balor, and he's a new champ on Raw.
Steve?
Yeah, you had a feeling that, at least I had a feeling, that Finn Balor was going to end up as the Intercontinental Champion by pinning Leo Rush in this match. And for me, I think that it's probably a smart move you know, Finn Balor being one of the most popular performers on that roster, I think you want to have him as a champion. I think he works well as the underdog babyface champion against some of these big heels. You know, you could see, you know, guys like Baron Corbin coming after him looking for a shot at the Intercontinental Championship and fighting him off. So I think that I'm okay with how this match went and the finish in it. You knew that had to be the finish because you just couldn't see Finn Balor going over clean on Bobby Lashley.
All right, the next match, Ronda Rousey, Ruby Riott for the Raw ladies title. Charlotte was at ringside. The match lasted a minute and a half. You guys know who won. Talk about what happened after the match. Let's begin with Steve.
Yeah, this was you could tell, and for those that did not watch the pay-per-view, Becky Lynch came out on crutches, got in the ring, started to go after to talk smack to both Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair, then beat up on Charlotte Flair, tossed one of the crutches to Ronda Rousey, to say, you know, hey, it's your turn to beat up on Charlotte, and then Becky beat up on Ronda as well. For Ronda, you could tell the inexperience after the match. She took a couple of hits from the crutches that you could tell were not supposed to happen. Becky hit her in the head once and split her open, and then hit her in a rather sensitive area as well as what it looked like from the camera angle. Caught her in a very sensitive place. So you could tell that Becky Lynch was trying her best with Ronda Rousey, but Ronda just doesn't have the, you know, she still is learning her craft. So you're looking at there was a couple of really not so good moments afterwards, but it was smart to try and get them going in the right direction.
All right, Giancarlo.
Yeah, even in this match with Ronda winning in like under 2 minutes, I think they're really making Ronda look like the most dominant champion, man or woman, on the roster. So like that, once WrestleMania comes around and you see the ladies in the main event, that people will be like, okay, she's been the most dominant champ. She's beating all the women in under 2 minutes. And Becky, I agree with Steve. It showed the inexperienced by Ronda, and at the end of the match, she caught her. You even saw pictures online of Ronda's head, what it looked like. It looked like maybe she needs a stitch, like a pair of stitches or something, because she was bleeding after that. And that's not the kind of person you want to, like, accidentally do that stuff to. So for Becky's sake, she's going to look out at WrestleMania.
She's the man. All right. Now, a new no DQ match, Baron Corbin, Braun Strowman, Steve. Get that mouth. Let's talk.
I thought I'd be upset with this match, and you know, I'm not really that upset with how this match ended. You had a feeling that with the no DQ stipulation that Baron Corbin was going to end up with the victory in some way, shape, or fashion. You had a feeling that Drew McIntyre was going to make an appearance. And then Bobby Lashley showed up as well with chairs, and then they did the triple power bomb like the Shield through two tables to give Corbin the victory. You know, I'm okay. I think it shows that you have to do as a heel anything you can to try and get a victory over Baron off of Braun Strowman. And so I think Baron Corbin just played up the heel role perfectly in this match. So you know, it wasn't a great match, but you know, I can't say I'm disappointed with it.
All right, Giancarlo?
Yeah, I wasn't too crazy about this match. I thought the way it went, the way it was booked, it was perfect for something that could have happened on Raw instead of a pay-per-view. Even Drew McIntyre coming out and Bobby Lashley was a little too predictable for me. And on Raw, I don't know what happened. Where's Kurt Angle? Like, he was helping out Braun Strowman, and now all of a sudden he's nowhere to be found. I don't know what's happening with that. And Bobby Lashley, that's what confused me too, because when he attacked Leo Rush, it seemed like he was a face and the crowd was really into him. Now he comes back to help out Baron Corbin. So a little bit confusing, and it seems to be going towards Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre for WrestleMania. But Braun Strowman, we don't know where that might lead now, so we're going to have to find out on Raw.
All right. Now it's time for the main event. Giancarlo stated that the ladies' elimination chamber should have been the main event. Well, as of 3 o'clock, it was going to be the main event, but Vince McMahon then ordered the men have the main event. Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton, and Jeff Hardy in elimination chamber match for the WWE title. Steve, go ahead. Lots to talk about in this match, but, you know, did they lose an opportunity? Daniel Bryan won, but did they lose an opportunity of not giving the belt to Kofi Kingston?
I don't think so. I don't think you want to put the belt on Kofi Kingston before WrestleMania. I think that you wanted to keep Daniel Bryan with the championship and have him be a part of that that WrestleMania match for the WWE Championship, whether it's with AJ Styles or Randy Orton or Samoa Joe or Jeff Hardy, or maybe with Kofi as a challenger. I don't think you wanted to have Kofi going into, even into Fastlane, you know, with because then you, if you're going to let Kofi have the championship in Elimination Chamber and then lose it 3 weeks later at Fastlane, I just don't think it's the right call for Kofi. This Kofi should end up with the title. He is extremely popular with the fans, of course, and even more so now. I think the WWE did a really good job of playing up, you know, the experience factor and the fact that, you know, he's had runs as a singles champion before, just not at this level. And he's been a U.S. champion, he's been an Intercontinental champion. To have a run as the WWE champion, I don't think you want to do it before WrestleMania, but afterwards I could certainly see Kofi ending up with the belt.
All right, Giancarlo, they did a number on Samoa Joe. He's the first one eliminated, then RKO to AJ Styles, so Randy Orton eliminated him. Kofi eliminated Randy Orton. What did you think of the bout overall?
Overall, I thought it was great. Real good match, great storytelling, and I do kind of think they did miss an opportunity with Kofi here, because I can't remember the last time I saw a match on WWE where the entire crowd was, like, on the edge of their seat. They're all on their feet. No one was really sitting down. The camera kept on going to the crowd when Kofi would kick out or do something, like, incredible in the ring, and they were all standing and really into this match. So Kofi winning, I thought, would have been a real great story. But now that AJ or Randy Orton, it doesn't seem like they're going to challenge Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania for the title. It seems that they're going to be going in their own program. Maybe Kofi Kingston faces Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, and we get Kofi winning the title on the biggest stage in WWE. So maybe that would make for a great story, but I like how they ended the pay-per-view, how after the match they had the New Day come in and really have that moment with Kofi, because all those guys really put a lot of effort into rephasing, like doing a lot of stuff different in their career, because before going into that stable, you didn't know where they were going as singles competitors, and they came together as a New Day, and it was like new, fresh life into their careers, especially for Kofi, who at that time was a singles champ. He had flashes of being a great champion, maybe could be a WWE champion, but after tonight, I think WWE could put the title on him.
Steve, did Giancarlo just say at WrestleMania it's going to be Kofi Kingston against Daniel Bryan? Did I just hear him say that, Steve?
I think you did, and I think that Giancarlo may be a victim of what we like to call recency bias. I don't see Kofi in the main event for the WWE title at WrestleMania.
The Maple Leafs beating out Tampa to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. That's never going to happen, is it? What's going on here? All right. On a side note, let me get the grades from you guys. What do you grade the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, Steve?
And, you know, I would probably give it I'd probably give it a B minus. I think that, you know, I thought that both Elimination Chamber matches were fantastic. I thought that, I thought that there was, there's enough in the middle to be all right. I thought that, you know, the aftermath of the Ronda Rousey Ruby Riott match was better than the match itself. So I would probably give it a B minus.
All right, Giancarlo.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Chamber matches elevated the pay-per-view. Baron Corbin, Braun Strowman belonged on Raw, and the Ruby Riott Ronda Rousey match did, I think, a little too much harm to Ruby Riott going forward. Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley was okay, and the Usos and the Miz and Shane, okay match, but the Chamber matches for me were the real strong parts of the show.
All right, let's talk about this. First of all, Seth Rollins and his girlfriend broken up. They're done. Now, there's been some accusations by Corey Graves' wife that he has had an affair with Carmella. I'm not going to say it's true. I'm not going to say this, but also should note that one of the Usos was arrested Tuesday after SmackDown, allegedly wanted to fight a cop. Furthermore, it looks like the reason why he got arrested was they want to get fired by the WWE so they could sign on with All Elite Wrestling. And what did they do? They put the titles on the Usos today. So let me get Steve's here. The Usos' contract runs up. They put the title on him or on them. The New Day's contract is coming up also, and they were pushing Kofi Kingston, like you said, to the moon. So, you know, the WWE is really worried about losing stars. Now I have heard also, this past week that Dean Ambrose, you know, they said he's going to leave the WWE and all that. I heard that this may have been a work. Steve, what do you say about all this?
Well, I think that the Dean Ambrose leaving is a work angle is, it's possible, but you don't normally see the WWE send out a release using a wrestler's real name as opposed to their gimmick name in the promotion. So when they use the name Jonathan Good instead of the name Dean Ambrose, you know, it showed to me that there's something, like, he was legitimately going to go off contract, but what does that mean, that he is not going to come back at some point this year? I totally think that he'll be back in WWE, maybe by, you know, if his contract is up in June, I'd get back soon as the Survivor Series. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So I think that the fact that this Dean Ambrose thing could gish, but I don't think it's a complete work at all. Now, as for the WWE pushing talent that is unhappy and was looking to maybe leave and sign with All Elite Wrestling, I mean, that's what Vince does. He wants to try and keep as many of his stars as possible and not let them go to All Elite Wrestling. Eventually some of them are probably going to end up there anyway. But you want them to head on over there once the promotion is sliding back a little ways, so that you know that they are going to be the legitimate number two and not trying to push their way to number one.
All right. Giancarlo, as we close this out, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at John_411, Instagram at Giancarlo_Alino. And follow all my articles on barnburner.ca.
Steve Carney.
And you can follow me on most social media at Steve Carney. and checking out 95.3 WDAE and AM 620 here in Tampa, which is on the iHeartRadio app. And then on Friday, this Friday, you can check out Talking Combat with Trey and Carney, and we will go a little more in-depth into the Elimination Chamber and the aftermath on Raw and SmackDown and what it means for Fastlane coming up here in 3 weeks. You can follow Talking Combat on Twitter at TC on WDAE.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Joe.